Messier mentioned. The title of my sermonette today is Vision Statement. Vision statements are frequently used by businesses to encapsulate the values that a business has. These vision statements help to guide decisions that those businesses make, whether it involves setting goals or making more tactical decisions about how to approach a situation. The vision is what guides and directs those decisions. For example, a company that might manufacture cars with a vision of making the fastest cars on the planet will do things very differently from a car company that has a vision to build the most reliable cars on the planet. Even though both companies are in the same industry and theoretically competing in the same market, they'll choose to set goals and make decisions, make investments in completely different ways. The company with the vision to build the fastest cars will probably invest in technologies that reduce weight, increase power, making their cars more aerodynamic, and various other things that all drive towards getting a little bit more speed in their cars. But the company that has the vision to make the most reliable cars, I don't think they're really going to care much about aerodynamics at all. But they will be guided by decisions to increase the quality in the engineering of their product so it doesn't break down. A vision, like in these examples, is forward-looking and sets direction to move forward in a way that will achieve that vision. We think of vision statements primarily in the context of applying to businesses much more than we do applying to people. However, we as people, individuals, we too have values, we have identity, we have dreams that correlate to a vision. These are what we use to set our direction. We too have a vision, don't we? As God's begotten children, we have a vision of the future that we are working towards as well. In the week that we have just spent together during the feast, we have immersed ourselves in learning and contemplating about the wonderful future ahead of us. And in so many ways, we are trying to live according to that future vision right now. We are taking the time to revel in the vision that God has for the world, for all of mankind, and for each one of us individually. It's a wonderful future that we have to look forward to, but it's not here yet. This is the vision that we have for ourselves collectively as a congregation. I'll speak for myself a little bit here, but when I consider the things that I'm contemplating during the feast, as I'm sitting in services and listening to what's ahead, the things that are typically the concern for me during these, working hours are absolutely insignificant. Like, I really don't care, These things that I get worked up about in my day job, they really don't matter in the big picture. The vision that God has for me, for you, for the world, it changes the way that I make decisions in my daily life. And it puts all of, what I choose to do in a completely different context. Brethren, we have the great opportunity to have the most inspiring vision to work towards. It is big, it is ambitious, it is wonderful to behold. It will change the world. How many business vision statements claim to want to change the world, but are failing in doing that? God's vision statement will absolutely succeed. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 6, and I'll read verses 31 through 33. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Rather than be concerned about the worries of the world, we are driven by something else that we have been hearing about all week long. The vision statements of the world only lead towards worldly gains, and those worldly gains are quickly going to fade away and become absolutely worthless. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is the vision statement that we use to inspire us to keep going day by day, moment by moment. That's what we have out in front of us. That's what we've been hearing about all week long. To wake up every day with a purpose to serve God, as we heard yesterday by Mr. Bruno, so that the kingdom of God can be established here, that is what directs our decisions. That's what we are working for. That's what we care about. That's what guides us. I would like to bring out just a few scriptures that highlight what it means for the kingdom of God to be established here and God's righteousness to be established here. Turning to Isaiah 2, reading verses 2 through 4, very popular scripture during the Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. When the kingdom of God is here, this is what it's going to look like. Righteousness will prevail. Unlike today, when the nations are turning away from him, they will deeply desire to turn towards him, to learn the truth, and to live by it. How foreign is that today? How crazy does this kind of vision sound to the world? The law and the commandments that we appreciate today, they will be loved, cherished by all nations. Violence and war will come to an end. Still in Isaiah, going to chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, passage about Jesus Christ's rulership here. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. The kingdom of God will be ruled by Jesus Christ, and his perfect law improves the lives of everybody. How ambitious is that vision? Peace will cover the earth. All the wars that we heard about are going to be gone, right, Mr. Messier? To imagine this now is such a foreign concept to the world at this time. It's truly visionary. Everything is going to need rebuilding, of course, because this world is absolutely sideways when it comes to understanding how to do things God's way. And everything is going to be rebuilt through the direction of this vision statement that we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6. Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6, we read a little bit about what you and I are going to be doing. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, speaking of you and I, God willing, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's our vision. That's where we fit in. We have a role to play in the fulfillment of this vision statement. If we have the endurance to live our lives committed to him until the end, we will be this special people. Being in that first resurrection as kings and priests, we will have the opportunity to actively work under Jesus Christ to assist him with the increase of his perfect government. That's what this vision looks like. It is something the world cannot grasp. Not yet, but they will. I'd like to read one more scripture in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 19. We've heard the vision of what we look forward to. We need to know how to use that. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, if you don't allow the vision statement of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness to guide you, then what? I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. With the vision statement that we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we are inspired to work towards that end day to day, moment by moment. That is what we use to evaluate whether we are going in the right direction. We use this vision to guide our decisions. Practically, today, we don't have to wait. It comes down to life and death, doesn't it? We see that quite simply here. By allowing this vision statement to guide us, it leads us towards life. We are to choose that path. The things that the world has to offer are trivial when we take to heart what God has to offer, what God's vision is. Our vision statement, again, drilling it in today, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It helps us to prioritize things in life. When we have to make a decision about taking one path or the other, we evaluate it according to whether it leads us closer to the kingdom of God and his righteousness or further away. When we see how much more valuable it is to seek God, it is obvious that is what will bring us the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment. We are fortunate to have this vision statement, brethren, from God to guide us.